Luke chapter number 15, beginning at verse number 17. We're talking about the prodigal son. We're catching it at the end of the story here. The Bible said, "And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him." Praise God. Amen. Amen. Now this morning, if you blink too slow, I'm going to be done. I feel doubt in the house. But I've come to rebuke that spirit of doubt. I've come to put it in the ground, bury it. Praise God. For a few minutes of time, if you'll help me here tonight, I want to preach tired enough to change. Tired enough to change. I don't know why. I've been feeling this. Somebody may be sitting outside on the curb or something listening to this. I don't know. I just feel led to preach this. I felt led to preach this for 2 weeks now. And so this is what I want to preach. Amen. If the shoe fits, Cinderella, go ahead and wear it. Amen. But if not, you're going to have something to go talk to friends, families, relatives, neighbors, and all of the above about. Amen. Praise God. Tired enough to change. God bless you, and you may be seated today. Amen. There is no question about it. Number one, for a person to admit they need to change is quite tough. And for a person to change can be even tougher. I read something a few weeks ago. I'll share it with you here this morning. It was sent to me. And it simply says this. And I want you to pay attention. Your brain will choose a familiar hell over unknown peace. That's why self-sabotage feels so safe, and actually changing for the better feels so scary. That right there, my friend, death defines a whole lot concerning change. Praise God. People don't change when they see the light, but they rather would change when they feel the heat. And as long as life is comfortable and predictable and manageable, then people are going to stay in the exact same patterns that they live in. And it is only when they get tired enough, fed up enough, desperate enough, that is when the real change is going to be born. I was preaching last week. I was preaching in Mississippi and just asking the Lord to help me to understand who that I was preaching to and be able to show me, and kind of reverting back to the evangelistical days and studying the crowd and letting the Lord begin to speak to me. And the Lord began to deal with me as I watched people that were worshiping and singing and stuff. And I just felt like, you know what, they're reachable. They're reachable. But there was a couple that came in a few minutes later, and they sat in the center towards the back, and I immediately knew that they were not ready for change in their life. Just by their body language, their actions and such, man, I realized that trying to spend time with them, trying to do that, was going to be futile, because they were not ready to change. But there were other ones there that their body language, their demeanor, the way that they handled themselves signified, amen, that they were there for something. And I didn't know who was sinners and who was saints, but I just realized that there are those that their Their entire body language speaks very loudly. I'm happy with who I am. I'm happy with where I am. And I'm not ready or not willing to change. Praise God. And so it is only when a person becomes tired enough of the situation that they are in that they will begin to seek out change in their life. And in reality, change oftentimes needs to come a whole lot sooner than it does, but we don't perceive that in our lives. The alcoholic, a man can find himself getting out of jail the third or the fourth time and still not perceive that he needs to change, amen, because it seems like everything at home is okay. But if he goes back to an empty house, and if he goes back to a letter that is written, that is laid upon the table from a wife that is fed up with living the way that she has lived and raising the kids in the hell that she has had to deal with and not knowing whether or not that the husband is going to come home or not, wondering if the phone call in the middle of the night is going to be from the jail that says that he's been picked up, or from the sheriff that says that his body's been recovered from some type of accident. Amen. This individual says, I am tired of the condition that I am in. It is only then that the alcoholic, amen, life, what seemed to be so fine, so okay, and so fun, has quickly turned. And if he would have realized it many months and possibly years ago, he needed a change in his life. Praise God. Amen. The Bible teaches us in Job 14 and 1 that man that is born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. It's just our natural propensity to get ourselves into trouble. Can I say here this morning that your enemy is luring you into trouble? That's why you can't give heed to him. You can't pay attention to him. Amen. Everything that he's got to offer, amen, is not good. Everything that glitters is not gold. All of the good things out there that he's trying to peddle you and sell you and throw your way, and all of the looks and the enticements of the world that are coming your way are not good. The devil does not mean good for you. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I want you to know tonight, amen, this morning, that fun can blind you. Just because that it is fun does not mean that it is right. Just because that it is fun does not, amen, justify it. Just because that it is fun does not mean that it is the best for you. Amen. But it has a way of blinding you. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. As individuals that we are, we become creatures of habit. We are people of habit. And that's why that the thief would begin to scope people out, because that we are people and creatures of habit. We have a tendency to wake up at the same time, to leave at the same time, to be gone for the same amount of time. We have a tendency to visit the same places. Amen. You've got your same morning run. Whether it's Dutch Brothers or Starbucks or Scooters, amen, or whatever, McDonald's or whatever it may be, you just got that same habit that is there that you tend to follow after. That same habit, amen, at work, the same way that you walk, the same way that you present yourselves, amen, the same pattern coming home, the same ways taken home, the same mentality of coming home. Amen. It is only something out of the norm, amen, that would catch our attention and cause us to feel like something may need to change. Amen. It's seeing that individual studying us. Amen. It's other things that are there. But we build these safety nets in our lives. We build these comfort zones in our lives. Amen. Because we feel the safety that is within them. Amen. Our lives, amen, tend to conform to a certain realm of safety. Amen. And that comfort often blinds us to the emergencies, to the danger that is lurking around us. Amen. That comfort zone that is there oftentimes blinds us to our surroundings. But because that we are so comfortable in it, we do not have a desire to change. Why change when you feel good? Why change when you feel comfortable? Why change when everything seems to be going right? Praise God. Praise God, praise God. I want you to know that this is where the prodigal son was. Amen. He had asked for his inheritance, and he had received it, and he had walked out, and his life became one reaction after another. Amen. For every action, there was an equal and opposite reaction that began to happen in his life. Amen. When he left home, he had money. Amen. He accrued friends, and he found out what the partying life was all about. Amen. And as long as he had money, he thought that he was free. And as long as he had friends, then he thought and felt that his life was fulfilled. And as long as he was partying, he thought that he was happy. But one day, I want you to know here today that his particular life did not change, but there were things in his life that was changing that he failed to recognize. Amen. His friends, amen, he failed to recognize that his friends were only friends as long as he was paying the bill. Amen. He failed to recognize, amen, that his friends weren't around all the time if he didn't have any money. Amen. But as the money began to run out, amen, he began to wonder, to question what was going on in his life. He used to have money and he helped his friends, but now that he has no money, where are his friends? And it was only when these things began to come about. I wonder how long it was before he reached in his pocket and he pulled something out, and it wasn't 100. Amen. It was just a 1. And as he began to rifle through those 1s, he realized he had but a few bucks. Amen. But nevertheless, he continued to live life the same way that he had lived. I don't know how long it took him, but I want you to know that every day that he lived, he was sinking further into despair, having his eyes closed. Amen. I want you to know that the first day he walked into the bar, amen, and those friends, quote unquote friends, began to come near him and began to accept him in, he was in a world of trouble. He didn't realize that on day one, day two, he didn't realize that in week 2 or maybe even month 2. I don't know how long, but from day 1, it was a downward spiral, amen, that he failed to be able to realize what was happening to him. Amen. But one day the money was gone, and he felt, I'm not as free as I used to be able to. I can't come and go as I want to. I can't be who I would like to be. I'm bound. I'm messed up.
amen, one day his friends weren't there any longer and nobody was there to listen to him. It didn't start that way, but it ended that way. As long as he was partying, he was happy. And so he felt maybe he could just go find happiness, amen, at a party, but he wasn't welcome there. It took him hitting the bottom before he realized something has got to change. Amen. You may not be understanding that change is necessary in your life until you began to examine your life. Don't look at where you are currently. Look at where you're going to be in a few moments of time. Psalms chapter number 119 and 67. Amen. The Bible says, David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. I want you to know tonight that God does not always prevent the pig pen from coming to your life. Amen. God does not, you hear me today. Amen. God doesn't even have to orchestrate the pig pen to come into your life. It's these things called consequences that happen in life. Amen. It's these things called, amen, that you're going to reap, amen, what you plant. Amen. If you sow it, you're going to reap it. If you replant with the wind, you're going to reap with the wind. Amen. You can't be doing foolish things and expect to not come away burned. The world has coined this phrase that said, play stupid games and get stupid prizes. I know that's a little bit cruel, but we're living in a cruel world today that even the world has an understanding. You're going to have consequences for every action that you decide. Amen. If you decide to be obedient, you'll reap in obedience. But if you decide to be rebellious, you can't blame God. You can't blame your friends, and you can't blame others when things began to turn sour and go south in your life.
Praise God. Amen. Can I be so bold to say this, that when the prodigal son first stepped out of daddy's house and set his feet down the path, amen, headed to a foreign country, amen, it was the direction of the pig pen. Well, yeah. He didn't have to turn to the left or to the right to get into the pig pen. Amen. That was his destination as soon as he left. It just took him a little while to get there, but his destination was going to be the pig pen. Amen. I want you to know that's where the devil wanted him to end up, was in the pig pen. The degradation and the despondency of all of the mess that was there. Amen. The devil, amen, was sitting on the other side of the pig pen with the prodigal son looking from the father's house. Amen. And through the distance and the days and the months of time, the devil was saying, come here, young man. Come here, little boy. Come here, sir. Come here, ma'am. Come here. I got something I want to share with you. And along the ways, you're going to pass the fun time, and you're going to pass the taverns, and you're going to pass the friends. But that's not where we're going to end at. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof, there are the ways of the pig pen. It's the death. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And so I'm here to tell you that God doesn't necessarily order the pig pen into your life. He just doesn't stop the consequences from coming in your life. I could spend time and I could tell you of people who had good intentions. A young man that said, if I ever quit church and ever leave, I'll never have a vulgar, foul mouth like the world. He said, I'll never do this, I'll never do that. I don't know where he is. I don't even know if he's alive today. But I do know that he turned into a flaming homosexual. I tell you about a young man, a man that never thought that he would go as far as he went. Just walking out on God, just leaving God, heart broke. But it led to alcohol, led to hard liquor, led to low drugs, to hard drugs, to heavy drugs, to dealing drugs, to attempts of murder upon his life, and even ended, it culminated, amen, in a drive-by shooting where he was shot in the head, and he's lived through that. You see, when did he need to change? On day one. But you can't see that. You're not ready to change. You're not ready to change. Amen. When the prodigal son put his plan into action and stepped out of daddy's house, amen, 5 steps down the road, he needed to change. 1 step away from daddy's house, he needed to change. Because he was heading in the wrong direction. But he didn't see the necessity to change. He needed to change, but he didn't feel like he needed to change. Sometimes the Word of God comes unto us and it's pretty abrasive. I care not to be a hard preacher. I care not to be abrasive and stuff like that. But you know what? There's sometimes that the Word of God has got to be the hammer that breaks some things in our lives. Otherwise, who's going to get your attention? Because you don't feel the necessity to change. Because you're not tired of it. The Bible likened it unto a man, and this is being a hearer of the word only, but he gives us a principle that there is a man that would look at himself in the mirror and see in what manner of man that he is, looking at himself and say, you know what, I am an alcoholic. Turns around and goes and orders a drink. Looks at himself and says, I am messed up. Turns around and goes, does the same things that he's always done. We got to get to a place in life that when the Word of God comes forth, we use it as a sponge and we absorb it. Amen. And we say, God, I need this. Amen. There are times that I, even myself, amen, have received things from the Lord. And I said, God, I don't know exactly what I can take out of this word. It was a good word, but I'm going to put it in my heart. I'm going to absorb it into my life. I'm not going to let it be like water on a duck's back. I'm not going to let it be like water on concrete. Amen. That may have a small absorption rate, but I want to open up and stick it inside and find out in prayer, God, where can I apply this in my life? I want you to know I am very interested in being saved. Amen. I want you to know, amen, that my main goal is to make it to heaven. I don't want a job to cost me heaven. I don't want friends to cost me heaven. I don't want spouses to cost me heaven. I don't want relationships to cost me heaven. I don't want fun to cost me heaven. If I gotta give it all up, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? I need to change. What is it in me, God, that needs change? I may not feel it. I may not see it. But God, your word is true and right. And I am gonna change. Praise God. And so the prodigal son saw. I can imagine the prodigal son standing there in the mud and the mire. And friend, if you've never been around pigs like this, you don't know what stink smells like. Because I don't know very many things. As a matter of fact, I can't really... Let me just tell you, I'd rather go to the Butler County dump than to go and be around a bunch of pigs. I'm telling you, it's putrid, foul smelling. Back at home, living in Texas, right to the south of the church, kind of southwest of the church, but in viewable distance, there was a farmer out there. I don't know how many pigs that he had, but I'll tell you what, it would cause a church to pray when there was a northeast wind blowing. I'm just telling you. Amen. Are you ready for this saying? My dad used to say this. He said he would gag a maggot on a gut wagon. That's bad. That's rough. You think about, amen, maggot-infested trash. Smells so sick it would make them sick to their stomach. And that's where the prodigal son found him. I don't know how many days he was there. I don't know if it was day one or day seven or day 100. I don't know. But the Bible says that all of a sudden he came to himself. Sometimes it takes a long time to come to yourself. Sometimes it takes busted families, prison sentences, felonies, attempted murders. It takes hard, cruel time. It takes losing everything you have. I want you to think about that right now. Your family. Your children, your job, your loved ones. Sometimes people don't recognize they need to change until they are there in their pig pen. Utter disgusting. Oh, no wonder. God help us, some of you are never going to eat pork after this. But I'm telling you, you know, when you know the life of a pig, it's not that pretty, pink, shiny Wilbur with a little ribbon tied on his tail. It's utterly disgusting, defecating, urinating in their food and their water, and rolling in it. It's disgusting. And some people have to get into a personal pig pen of life before they realize I need to change. Son, you needed to change day one out of the Father's house. You needed to change 2 days before you ever even asked your dad for the inheritance. Your mind was already traveling down the road to the pig pen. He finally deciphered, well, this ain't good. I wonder if he thought to himself, how did I get here? There's a lot of times you don't even realize how you got there. You just wake up and you're there. But you need to change. It's that comfort zone. That fun, that alluring factor blinded you to the change needed. And so he said, you know what, I need to change. And he put a plan together. He said, I wonder how many hired servants my father has. They're not eating pig slop, working in all this mess. I think I'll go. He said, I'm going to go back to the Father's house. And I'm going to prepare a testimony. I'm going to prepare something to say to him. Father, I've sinned. I've messed up everything. I've squandered it all. Made a mess of my life. Made a mess of everything. I mean, look at the... I'm sorry. I stink. He had to come out of that pig pen and go see his father with shame written all over his head. Anxiety. Admittance. Nobody likes to admit. I need to change. You know why? Because we all feel like we know what's best for our life. How many times have you said this or have you heard somebody say this? I know what I'm doing. Or they say this, I'll be okay. I'm going to be all right. Well, I'm sorry you don't see things quite like I do because you're blinded. And so he had to walk back to Father's house and stench, shame, embarrassment, agony. But he was so tired of his life. He thought to himself, you know what? Today's the day. You know, I kind of saw this coming a few days ago. I felt this in my belly. A few days ago, I was hungry for the first time. You know, something kind of popped up the other day, and when I started giving time to it, consideration, when I began to ponder upon it, something kind of slapped me and said, what are you doing? I need to change. I need to change. Let's stand this morning. I will arise and go to my Father. And I'm going to say, you know what? Nobody changes from guilt. Nobody changes from shame, from pressure. Nobody changes from people's expectations. They change because they got tired of living that way. People can shame you. People can prophesy to you. People can reveal the truth to you. I told you the other day, I'm listening to this history book, this historical book, how that the West came to life. And you know that saying that they have said for years and years, and you've heard it. You heard it in school, and you heard it from your parents, and you heard it from others. Some things just don't ever change. History teaches us one thing. Nothing changes. It takes a special somebody to change. But you don't have to be big. You just got to come to your senses. One day, that's where the prodigal son was. Came to himself. You go read it in some of the other translations, and it bears the meaning of when he began to think sensibly. So inebriated by life. So drunken with the cares of the world and the love and the lust of the world that when he finally came to the place that he could think sensibly. In other words, just using common sense. You understand what I'm saying? That we get into such a place of despair that common sense doesn't even kick in. We're so far beyond that. You know, from this side, we look at people and we think to ourselves, what are they thinking? They're not. Because there's no need to change until they're tired of it. Tired enough to change. And so he ran home, because change requires movement. He had to do more than just talk about the plan. He had to put it into action. He had to make the walk, the journey home. Face the shame and take the responsibility. But I think that the lovely thing at the end of it all is that the Bible teaches us that the Father was standing there waiting. And that when the Father saw him from afar off, he ran to him. And the prodigal son put up his hands. I'm just telling you right now, you don't want to be hugging on me. I'm a mess. Father said, I ain't worried about this. And he said, well, let me explain it to you. You know, Father said, I ain't worried about hearing it. Welcome home. I've been waiting for you a long time. Since the day that you walked out the door and closed it, I've been waiting for you. Come on in. Let's get you cleaned up. Let's get you changed. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you need some change in your life. I don't know everything that's going on in your life. Maybe this has been the word of God that kind of threw the mirror up. Say, hey, do you really recognize where you're headed? There's nothing good at the end of that road. Things that you're looking at, things that you're listening to, people that you're hanging out with, associations that you're making. Oh, there ain't nothing wrong. There ain't nothing wrong. We lie to ourselves so many times. Today, the Word of God has come knocking at your door. Saying, hey, I wonder if you could change some things in your life before you get too tired. The rule of thumb is that you have to be too tired of it before you initiate change. But before that vice takes you that far, would you recognize it and would you come to an altar today and would you say, God, I need some change right here in my life. Right here, I need some change. Come on. Come on, let's come talk to the Lord. Oh, there ain't no sense in lying about it. There ain't no sense in suppressing it and pushing it back. There ain't no sense in talking about things that doesn't matter. I want you to talk about things to God that do matter. It's that very thing that you just can't get away from. How long are you going to have to suppress it before it finally dies? How long are you going to have to bury that conviction until it stops getting up? And you don't even feel bad about it anymore. Maybe that's the place where you are right now. You don't even feel bad about it anymore. You used to. You used to feel somewhat convicted about it. Now you don't even feel convicted about it. You're learning to handle a hot frying pan with your hands. You need change. Come on, you need change. If you would open up your eyes, you would see how far that you've really digressed. Hallelujah. Oh, I know the Holy Ghost is here today. I know the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. I walked out of my office and the first thing that I heard was the praise singers and everybody singing. You came to change my life. Oh, yeah. God's come to change you. God's come to show you. I don't know how far you've gone. If you're, hey man, if you're just contemplating asking the Father for the inheritance, or if you're two steps out the door, or if you're in a foreign country right now, I don't know. But he's come to change your life. Why? Because he thinks you're worth it. He thinks you're worth saving. He thinks you're worth the time invested to come down to you. Oh, yeah, he does. He just keeps coming back again and again and again and again. Why? Because he considers you worth it. He does. He considers you worth it. He considered it worth it when he went to the cross. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. How tired do you have to be before you, amen, finally give in to change? Come on, you can be a new creature today. Old things can pass away, and behold, all things can become new. You can begin to walk in the newness of life. Amen. Prodigal son, you're coming out of a pig pen, but I'm walking in the newness of life. That was the old man walking down to the pig pen, but the new man's coming out.